occasional. I tried to raise my kids in the church, and I'm so much better than this brother that took this other course. I hope that we don't take that pharisaical attitude. We're all sinners, saved only, totally, wholly by the grace of Almighty God. You see, this brother didn't deserve to be there any more than the other brother did. We're all sinners, saved by grace. In verse 6 it says, I'll start with verse 2. It says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I'm thankful that God grants and brings us to repentance. And I'm thankful that God is pleased when the sheep come home. I appreciate what you said about the folks being out in the wilderness, that God might grant them to cross this path and that we might be a shining light. How do we measure up in this? Are we praying for those folks that are in the woods? I'm not talking about the non-elect, the ungodly that won't ever see heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's sheep, those that we know, those in my family, my friends. Are we praying in that? That God might grant us the proper light, that we might be shining our light. That the Lord would be glorified, that He would be praised.
And they think, well, I can get by with it. Nobody
shared this with the folks at Mount Carmel, and that
I know some situations.
They have a brother that
get by with it, and
he came up and asked me what we as primitive, this was several years ago, what we as primitive Baptists believed. And after I'd had quite some rejection from family and friends after joining the church, I said, well, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. How many of us don't take the opportunity to give an answer for the hope that lies within us? The hope that you have comes from God. God blessed us with that. Shouldn't we desire to share it with others? Heard one preacher say that our life is our mission field. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about turning goats into sheep. But the people that see us on a daily basis, that's the only people that we come in contact. I'm not talking about us going overseas or anything like that. But if the Lord's blessed you with a work of grace in your life, share it with others and share what you've got. You've got a wonderful heritage. You've got a wonderful place to meet and with brothers and sisters. And my, think yourself of how much better it is being in the Father's house with all the blessings that there are, with the brothers and sisters and all the family that there is in the Father's house. You see, this fellow had to wander away from it for a season. But he knew where it was and he came back to it. He came back to the Father's house. He just wanted to be associated, just wanted to kind of rub shoulders with them. How about us? What a blessing it is to be in the Father's house. Do we appreciate that? It said that my Father's servants have bread enough, even enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Not is there just barely enough, but there's an overabundance of it. God gives us grace for our every situation. Do we draw from it and lean on it? Do we share these blessings with others? Think about the trials that you've experienced in life. Has God's grace not been sufficient? I would say that it's been more than sufficient for every situation. You see, in the Father's house, there's blessings. There's blessings untold. Thank goodness the Father, when He saw His Son coming, went out and granted Him with open arms and had a celebration. Shouldn't we be that way over one that repents rather than over the 99 just? I thank God that we have a Savior of sinners. And when you feel yourself to be convicted, that's a blessing that God's done. That's an evidence and a blessing that God's done His work of grace within your heart. You see, if you come to the Father's house and you have this arrogant attitude that I don't need anything, give me what I've got coming, I don't need anything, I'm going to pursue my own course, go my own direction, do what I want to do. You don't need to be in the Father's house with that attitude. There's blessings in the Father's house. There's blessings in the Father's house. I thank you for your kind attention.
Reliving my experience. That's a good sermon. Made notes, especially in my Bible there. February 19, before I ever knew anything about the Trinity Baptist. And how just a few months before I actually came here, there was a time when I came to myself. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Oh.
they do if they've been raised in the church? They'll know where it was. They won't have to go around hunting for it. He didn't have to hunt around. He knew back where he wanted to go. Where he wanted to go. Said when he came to himself up there, and there's a lot in that. It takes different things in our life to bring us to ourselves, does it not? I've seen folks that have, my grandfather, for example, went to an old Baptist church all of his life. Oh, he'd help put the roof on the church, and he'd help them clean the air conditioner. Wouldn't join the church. But he got sick and was unable to get up and even go to church. He came to himself and he said that as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to join the church. And I told him that he was 76 or 7 years old, I believe, when he joined the church. We've had a lot of folks back home that it takes maybe some physical affliction before they actually come to themselves. And, you know, they know where the blessings are. And they like to go and feast with the folks upon the blessings of Almighty God. We've got a precious old sister. And she's, I guess, the newest member at the Lubbock Church. And she's 84 years old. And she just joined. Her husband had been sick and in the hospital for 6 months. And the fellowship that we had was just wonderful through that period of time with this precious sister. She knew where it was in the Father's house. But it takes different things for us to come to ourselves. And it might be totally different for you than what it is for somebody else. It might be a physical affliction. It might be the loss of a loved one. Only God knows what it takes. And then some people, my, they see the truth and they can't wait to get down the aisle. Coming to ourselves. God knows what's effective in each case. Can you picture the son, though, and in the state, the terrible state? Really, it was a blessed state. But he didn't just see himself as a sinner. He felt to be a sinner. He felt it. Somebody didn't have to tell him that he was a sinner. He felt. He said, Father, I've sinned. I feel to be a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. I don't deserve any blessings. Is this not the case of every child of grace when he's granted grace and the light of grace? He says, Father, I feel to be a sinner. I'm not worthy to be called one of thy sons. Just make me a hired servant. Oh, how that we ought to not just possess that attitude when we come into the church, but while we're in the church, as we journey down through life, make me one of the hired servants. Don't place me up on a pedestal. Don't give me what I deserve, but make me as one of thy hired servants. I feel to be a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything at all. In fact, what I deserve is the wrath of the Father. If his father would told him, why, you don't deserve anything, he would have realized that that's what he deserved. But he went back, he said, Father, just make me one of thy hired servants. He went back, you see, in a different attitude than what he had left with. He came to himself. He had a change of heart, you might say. He found out that the grass was not necessarily greener on the other side. He found out that what the world had to offer didn't compare to where he'd been. In the Father's house. In the Father's house. Now I'm going to tell you about the Father. Tell you about the Father. When the Father saw him coming, do you think that he ran out and he reprimanded him and gave him a bunch of questions to answer? And he said, well, where have you been and what have you been doing? No. It says, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. His father had been looking for him. His father had been praying for him. His father didn't just leave him out there, but his father had been praying for him and desiring to see him coming and expected to see him coming. How many of God's wandering sheep were out in the wilderness that we're praying for and we're expecting that God would work His work of grace in their life and bring them to the point that they come to themselves and expect that they might come back into the Father's house? It says the father looked up. The father saw him, and he was yet a great way off, and his father saw him. So evidently the father had been looking in a great distance. I expect the father had been praying for him. It says the father saw him, and he had compassion. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, bring the best robe, put on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Think of what a happy time that they had. When the father, who was looking anxiously, waiting for the son to come home, saw his son coming home. And think of what a blessing it was when the father saw the attitude that he had. The son didn't come back and say, give me some more. I spent all I had. I want some more. The son came back and he said, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm wretched. I'm vile. I'm unworthy. And if you send me on my way, that's what I deserve. But the father had mercy upon him. How about us? How does the father respond to us? The same way. Now, how do we respond to others? When they come into the church. Here's this other son. Let's think about this for a second. Now there was another son, his brother. Said the elder son was in a field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, well, thy brother's come home, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, and because he hath received him safe and sound. And it says the brother, he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore the father came out and entreated him. And he answering said unto him and to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee. I have not transgressed at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, and which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I hope that we don't ever possess the attitude in the church of this brother that says, I've been there and I go every Sunday. I read my Bible often. I've tried to raise my kids in the church, and I'm so much better than this brother that took this other course. I hope that we don't take that Pharisaical attitude. We're all sinners, saved only, totally, wholly by the grace of Almighty God. You see, this brother didn't deserve to be there any more than the other brother did. We're all sinners, saved by grace. in verse 6 it says, I'll start with verse 2. It says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I'm thankful that God grants and brings us to repentance. And I'm thankful that God is pleased when the sheep come home. I appreciate what you said about the folks being out in the wilderness, that God might grant them to cross this path and that we might be a shining light. How do we measure up in this? Are we praying for those folks that are in the world? I'm not talking about the non-elect, the ungodly that won't ever see heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's sheep. Those that we know. Those in my family. My friends. Are we praying in that God might grant us the proper light, that we might be shining our light, that the Lord would be glorified, that He would be praised? I shared this with the folks at Mount Carmel, and that we have a brother that he came up and asked me what we as Primitive, this was several years ago, what we as Primitive Baptists believed. And after I'd had quite some rejection from family and friends after joining the church, I said, "Well, you wouldn't believe it if I told you." How many of us don't take the opportunity to give an answer for the hope that lies within us? The hope that you have comes from God. God blessed us with that. Shouldn't we desire to share it with others? Heard one preacher say that our life is our mission field. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about turning goats into sheep. But the people that see us on a daily basis, that's the only people that we come in contact. I'm not talking about us going overseas or anything like that. But if the Lord's blessed you with a work of grace in your life, share it with others and share what you've got. You've got a wonderful heritage. You've got a wonderful place to meet and with brothers and sisters. And my, think yourself of how much better it is being in the Father's house with all the blessings that there are, with the brothers and sisters and all the family that there is in the Father's house. You see, this fellow had to wander away from it for a season. But he knew where it was and he came back to it. He came back to the Father's house. He just wanted to be associated, just wanted to kind of rub shoulders with them. How about us? What a blessing it is to be in the Father's house. Do we appreciate that? It said that my Father's servants have bread enough, even enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Not as there just barely enough, but there's an overabundance of it. God gives us grace for our every situation. Do we draw from it and lean on it? Do we share these blessings with others? Think about the trials that you've experienced in life. Has God's grace not been sufficient? I would say that it's been more than sufficient for every situation. You see, in the Father's house, there's blessings untold. Thank goodness the Father, when He saw His Son coming, went out and granted Him with open arms and had a celebration. Shouldn't we be that way over one that repents rather than over the 99? Just, I thank God that we have a Savior of sinners. And when you feel yourself to be convicted, that's a blessing that God's done. That's an evidence and a blessing that God's done His work of grace within your heart. You see, if you come to the Father's house and you have this arrogant attitude that I don't need anything, give me what I've got coming, I don't need anything, I'm going to pursue my own course, go my own direction, do what I want to do, you don't need to be in the Father's house with that attitude. There's blessings in the Father's house. There's blessings in the Father's house. I thank you for your kind attention.
He was preaching, reliving my experience. That's a good sermon. I made a note especially in my Bible there, February 1988, before I ever knew anything about the Baptist. And how the Lord was dealing with me there. Of course, He reminded me of those times. Just a few months before I actually came here, it was that time when I came to myself. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.